Well, it's good to see all of you out this evening, even though you were warned this morning. I have a simple message this evening. I'll turn this thing on. Maybe you can hear me a little better. Can you hear me in the back okay? That's one of the... Okay, all right. First, I'd like to welcome you. Have you ever been welcomed? Do you remember being welcomed? What's the most welcome you ever felt in your life?
Grandma.
Hot biscuits? Bacon cooking on the wood stove? Coffee on the... sleeping in an old feather bed? That's pretty welcome. How about your mom following you around saying, if you love me, you'll eat this? Anybody remember that?
Can you identify with that, Dan?
Maybe. So, it's a really good thing to be welcomed. Today, I'm going to talk about welcome in three ways. And the main one is the first one. But the other two kind of apply, so I think I should at least mention them, although they're not the main point. Welcome, as it affects drawing visitors to the church and returning to the church. Also, welcome, as it affects accepting one another in the church. And on a personal level, acceptance and welcome. What did your parents teach you that you should say if you wanted something?
Please.
And if somebody gave you the thing that you said, please, may I have?
Thank you.
And a gracious person, what would they say back? You're welcome. Have you noticed that your welcome has kind of disappeared from our society a lot? I mean, it's more like that somebody, they might say please, and somebody might say thank you, and you'd say thank you. I noticed this on an interview on the news yesterday, is that the guy got asked some questions, and he answered, and at the end, the fellow said thank you, and the fellow he was interviewing said thank you, and then they went away. He didn't say you're welcome, was he? You kind of wonder. You know, I think the Germans have got this right. I was wondering if Spencer was remembering his German. So, if a German is saying, please, what do they say? They say, bitte. Bitte. It's German for please. And I'll bet most of you know this, and if you were going to say thank you, you'd say, danke. Guess what your welcome is? It's bitte. It's a circle, right? So it's a circle. It's the same thing. Please and you're welcome is the same thing. So in their language, it forms a circle. And it sort of does in ours too. Just what does it mean to say you are welcome or to make somebody feel like they really are? You know, I think most of you have this as an experience in your life every day. Have you gone to your favorite restaurant? When you walk into the door of your favorite restaurant, what do you see? There's a host or a hostess, and it's their job to make you feel welcome. And usually, if you go to a restaurant, it's somebody that's not the least important person there. You know, one of the favorite places I like to go is the Brown Bottle in Waterloo. If you go to the Brown Bottle in Waterloo, who do you meet when you come in and you go up to that front desk? You meet the owner, or his wife, or one of their kids. So it's a member of the family that's there. And I think it's kind of the same way in Cedar Falls, isn't it? Usually you meet the owner or somebody important. The person that you run into first in that restaurant, their job is absolutely to make you feel welcome. And it's like a bright, happy, good-looking person usually, almost always. What happens if you go to Walmart? First person you run into is a greeter. Does the greeter look like the greeter you would expect to find in the restaurant? No, the greeter looks like just plain old, ordinary, everyday folks. Do you know why that is? They want just plain old, ordinary, everyday folks to feel welcome. It's the point. It's part of their business. Now, I was reading Sam Walton's book, and I thought he was going to talk all about that. And you know what? He mentioned it in passing, and just whizzed right on by it because he took it for advantage that you would do that. I mean, he didn't think about it a lot, but he mentioned that you would do it. it's important to have a welcome. Now, the reason for this sermon is this week I have been thinking about welcome a lot. And the reason I've been thinking about welcome a lot is that I have a friend who moved to Ames. And he's going to be down there. And he was in a church here, a Calvinistic church. And he was beginning to have doubts about their doctrine. And he and I have been talking, you know. And so I found somebody that knew Ames and I called him up. And I've been talking to them about, you got to invite him to church and you got to make him feel welcome. I ran in, he came back to work this week. And he said he visited some other church down there. And guess what? They didn't make him feel. They did not make him feel welcome. He said, that's just a really sad thing. A church, 500 people in a big grand building. Everything was just beautiful. But you know what? We went in there and nobody even talked to us. What kind of an effect does that have? So, he's somebody that's a seeker. You know, study is going to come with him. The thing that he needs is connection. You know, the sermon probably won't have that much effect on him. It's one of those things that I know preachers try to have sermons that have an effect on people and an impact, but you don't remember the sermon nearly so much as you remember how the people welcomed you, do you? You know, sometimes I travel for my work, and I know Casey and Edwin are too young to remember this, but you know, if you'd go to church in Monheim and walk in the front door, the first thing that's going to happen to you is this large black lady from Arkansas, her name was Shirley, was going to grab you and squeeze you. I mean, there was absolutely no doubt on earth that she was glad to see you there. She was going to give you a big old hug and not let go of you until you hug her back. Okay? That her mission in this whole thing, her husband Earl was going to give a good sermon that day. Her mission was to be at the front door and make people feel welcome. When I go back over there, there's a gentleman, John Davis, that he recognizes me from way, way back. And you know what? He always makes a point to make me feel welcome. So, and even though he doesn't see me that often. You know, I spent a lot of time in Arizona, and I would go to church in Wickenburg, and there was a family there that kind of adopted me. You know, they'd take me out to dinner or up on the hill to go look out over things where it was kind of cool, whatever. They told me, you know, you had valley fever, so now you're officially an Arizonan. When are you moving the rest of the family down here? They made me feel welcome. They were glad to see me there. In Laredo, Texas. There I was in Laredo, Texas, and all by my lonesome, I went to church. The other guys I was down there with were not exactly churchgoers. I did invite them, but they weren't churchgoers. And I was by myself, and this family that was there saw me there with myself, and they said, look, we're going to go down to Luby's, and we want to take you with us. You guys know how cool Luby's is?
Yep.
It's sort of like Bishop's, only the food is good. Okay? I mean, it's great, okay? Did you just what you want to go down, right?
Right, Dean? Have I got it about right on Luby's?
So the thing is, they took me down there and it made me feel right at home. We went to Pittman, New Jersey, Sharon and I, a year ago last Christmas. We were taking delivery on a new Nissan Law. Yeah. Pittman, New Jersey. Walked in the building in that morning, and you know what? There were all of these guys in there that were all wearing the same shirt. And the same shirt had, I forgot whether it was a cross or a fish, but it had the same thing embroidered right over the top of the pocket. I mean, obviously these guys had gotten up in concert that morning. They'd all put their same shirt on, and it was their job to go around and greet every visitor. They purposed from the time they got dressed that morning, I'm going to go greet every visitor. It was obvious that they were prepared. Centerville, Missouri. I went there. They invited me to speak. I mean, the thing about it is, it's the welcome mat was out. One of the few places, and I was welcome when I got there, but Dean and Artie kind of pre-pumped everything and were doing the welcoming first class. It's one of the few places that I actually remember the sermon more than I remember, or as much as I remember the welcome. The man's name was John. It's John Hernandez. right? And he preached a sermon, and it was about the headship of Christ. One of those that just sticks with you forever, but that's rare. How often do you remember going somewhere and hearing a sermon that you remember the sermon later? How often do you remember the welcome that you got? We went to Faith, South Dakota last year, and Faith, South Dakota is a place that's seriously out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, when you leave Belfouche, there's a sign that says, warning, no services for 76 miles, I think it is. They mean there's no place to buy gas, there's no place to pull over, nothing, okay, until you get there. And when we got there, guess what they were waiting for us with the church, at the church? A hot cup of coffee and a roll. And a friendly smile, and hi, how are you? And we got to know, you know, because the thing is, if you wander into South Dakota, usually there's a reason. So they, you know, hi, how are you? Oh, well, we came here to see Justin and Melissa Vig. But you know, by the time they got to church, we'd all already met everybody and talked about all kinds of things, and we had been thoroughly welcomed. Which churches that you visited made an impression on you? And I'm betting it's the ones that came across to you, we're glad you're here. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
So it's the churches that made you feel like you were glad you were there, the people welcomed you, that made a difference. Now, I'm not telling you this because you don't know it already, because I think you all do. I'm not telling you this because I'm better at welcoming people than you are. I think you know that I'm not. You know, I'm not the welcomer in our household. I want to tell you what, 25 plus years ago, this pretty girl pops up in front of me and says, hi, my name is Sharon, with a big smile. And it wasn't me that did the welcoming, okay? I'm not the big welcomer. I have to kind of force myself to do it. I mean, I'll be honest about this. This is not my nature. I mean, I look at Dave Engel. Dave, I told you I was going to talk about you. I look at Dave Engel greeting people in the, when they come in, and he does a really good job about it. Carol Seiferlein, I know that you do a very good job, and lots of the rest of you do too. I know that you do. The reason for sharing this isn't to tell you something you don't know. The reason for sharing this is to encourage you to keep doing it. Because listen, it really makes a difference. It's great to be biblically sound in your doctrine, to have a good sermon and be effective in your teaching, but the simple fact is you can't reach somebody who doesn't come back. It makes a difference to welcome people. Feeling welcome will do more to make somebody want to come back than anything else is going to happen here. It doesn't matter, you know, it's great for the scene to be on key. It's great for us to be enthusiastic. It's great for our building to look nice. It's great for us to look nice. But the thing that's going to make people want to come back is feeling welcome here. This word welcome in your Bible comes from several Greek words. All of them go back to the same root Greek word that means to, it can be translated welcome or accept or receive. And it's translated all of those ways in the New Testament. Luke chapter 8 verse 40 is an example of this, where the Bible says that the people, when Jesus left Capernaum, he went across, remember he put the demons into the swine, they ran to the sea, he came back across the Sea of Galilee, he came back to the Capernaum area, and it said the people welcomed him. It was that word. When Paul and Barnabas went to Jerusalem to see the church, most translations would say they were received. Same word. They were welcomed by the church. Sometimes the Bible doesn't say that word welcome or receive, and that Greek word's not in there, whatever. But from the story, you know that acceptance and welcome was part of what happened. In Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36, there's a story about somebody who invited Jesus to dinner. He was a Pharisee named Simon. And he invited Jesus to dinner, and while they were sitting there at the dinner, this woman came in that everybody in that community knew was a sinful woman. And Simon's sitting there, and he's thinking, if this man knew anything, he would know this is a sinful woman that he's letting touch him. Now, Simon was a Pharisee who was just really put off by this. Simon was a guy who expected to have influence by being the perfect example of the way a person ought to be, and everybody else seeing that, and then people want to be like him. And here Jesus was letting somebody that he thought was unacceptable touch him. I mean, this just really threw the guy off. And the thing that really made him crazy was that Jesus was making a habit of doing this, and what made it even worse was Simon was expecting to have an influence with these people, and guess what? This guy named Jesus, who was accepting these people, was the one that had influence with them. He's the one that changed their lives. He was doing something unthinkable to Simon, but in the process, he was reaching people. He was making a difference in their lives. Jesus accepted us to the point of dying for us while we were still unacceptable. Go back and read Romans 5. You know, I want to get back up a couple of weeks in Dan's sermons. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, he tells us that he did this while we were unacceptable. Verse 10 says this, "For while we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." James chapter 2 expounds on this at great length. The whole chapter, chapter 2, is talking about what? It's talking about accepting people. Because obviously the people he was writing to had a problem of looking at the people and treating the people that looked good different from the people who didn't. Does that ever happen in our world, that we look at somebody and we make judgments about them? It's easy for somebody that's, you know, a young family and the guy's well-groomed and the wife is pretty and the kids are well-behaved and they come into our assembly and we're excited to see them. It's easy, isn't it? But what if they don't look like that? What if it's not a whole intact family? Or what if they're old? Or maybe if they're not all that well-dressed? It's a little tougher, but it's more important for those people. And guess what? The world is out there knowing to grab those people. It's the people who don't get welcomed, who don't get accepted, that other people take advantage of. Did any of you ever watch a TV show that was popular for a lot of years? It was called Cheers, where everybody knows your name. It's because it was a place where those people felt welcome. I mean, they weren't the beautiful people, but did anybody think that the people were on there were the beautiful people? No way. But they were the people who were feeling accepted at that place, and they reach out to them. You know, if you're in sales or public relations, jobs that my dad used to describe as meeting the public. You probably don't use that phrase up here, I guess, but he said, oh yeah, he had a job meeting the public. And that meant that it was a job that it made a difference how you looked. You know, if you've got a job that you're the person that's out front that people see, maybe the hostess or the salesperson, whatever, it's how you look that makes a lot of difference in how people receive you. I mean, they look for people that look good. I mean, they're dressed nice and they're well-groomed and they're just the right size and shape and everything's just the way it ought to be and they've got a big smile. And you know, you might argue that the church ought to work on looking good. You ever think about that? You know, maybe we ought to do the thing where we all got the shirts that match, and maybe we ought to have regulations on wearing a tie and what kind of suit you wear and whether your shoes are polished or not and how the building looks, and you know what I'm saying? And I'll tell you what, one of the most interesting conversations that I think I've had that was a study in this place, it was back maybe 10 years ago with a high school class. And they wanted to talk about were you trying too hard to look good and when were you not trying hard enough to look acceptable for your friends. And it was a tough conversation. Some of you were in that conversation. I hope you remember it. And our kids had a really good attitude about it, I want to tell you. So, You might argue that it's important for the church to look good so we can attract return visitors. And Dan, don't get nervous. I'm not talking about trading you in for a preacher with more hair. Okay? Where do you draw the line, though? Because it's pretty obvious that Jesus and Simon were drawing the line at a different place about who they were willing to accept and how things looked. Jesus had a different view than Simon. When does how we look become more important to us than people? You know how you look? Yeah, it's important how you look. It makes an impression. But when is that more important than people and reaching and touching people who need it? Which brings us to accepting one another when we're more than visitors. You know, this word accept in the English Bible, there is another word for accept that means to take by the hand. You might think handshake. You might take by the hand and lead. When it's time to leave this morning, my wife took me by the hand and led me out. Okay? So sometimes when you're accepting somebody, you know, you lead them by the hand, right? Have you ever done that with your kids? Take by the hand. That's what it means. Romans 14:1 says this, "Now accept the one who is weak in the faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions." This is a continuing idea from Jesus and Simon, the Pharisee, because Paul is rebuking the Romans for trying to force people to be like them in order to be accepted. He's telling them it's the wrong thing to do. You know, when the message that we've got is, I will accept you when you act more like me, that's the wrong message. I think that's not welcome. I think it's manipulation. And churches that let this go on fall into a world of divisions. It gets to the point that they don't accept each other. And you know, no matter how wonderful a program that you might have, excuse me, for welcoming new visitors, it doesn't take those new visitors very long if they return to realize at church the people are not accepting each other. And there's nothing that will drive those new visitors away from your church as quickly as realizing that you're not. So it becomes a very important thing. Finally, welcome, I believe, is the heart of intimacy. It's true in families, it's true between friends, and it's true in the church. We have fellowship, and when we have fellowship, we welcome each other. We accept each other. Christians like Christ are supposed to accept others first, even when we think they don't deserve it. You know, people, you can talk about people whether they're smart or dumb or whatever, but this is one of the things that people are incredibly smart about. Do you think anybody has trouble understanding that they're not welcome? I mean, that feeling of, you're not welcome. You're just not welcome here. That's something that, it's a feeling that everybody gets that, don't they? Has anybody ever made you feel like that? Did that person have a great influence in your life? Are they somebody that you said, oh yeah, I want to be like them, or I want to do what they say? Probably not. You know, try completing this sentence. I felt about as welcome as... You got the sentence completed? How many of you in your minds, it was somebody in a church? Really? Nobody? I felt about as welcome as... Maybe we got a culture mismatch here. Okay. Have you ever had somebody that just made you feel really, really welcome? Like they were just absolutely glad to see you? What kind of an influence does that person have in your life? Lots. That's the person that you wanted to be like. You know, Jesus changed the life of that sinful woman in Simon's house because he accepted her. Jesus changed the life of a fisherman named Simon, who really wasn't on the track to become a spiritual leader because he accepted him. The same is true for a couple of tax collectors named Levi and Zacchaeus. The same was true for a physician named Luke. And the same was true for a crazy, zealous persecutor of the church named Saul. All of these were people that Jesus changed their lives by accepting them before they deserved to be accepted. Some of them were doing some pretty bad things that would make you think Jesus wouldn't accept them at all, particularly Saul. All of these Jesus changed. As ambassadors of Christ, it's our task to welcome others so they can be reconciled to God. One of my favorite passages is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It begins in verse 18. It really goes down through 21, but just let me read 18 through 20. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Who are you making feel welcome? Who are you not making feel welcome? Have you been welcomed by Jesus Christ and not accepted the welcome that He has made for you? If tonight you need to respond to any of these things, we invite you as we come and we sing.